There's an old saying among preachers that one should always preach with one hand on the Bible and the other on the daily newspaper. So that's where this homily is coming from this morning. In the Bible, we hear in the first reading about Job's sleepless night. He's tossing and turning, and he's up every hour on the hour. His mind is racing. Restless, he reports, until the dawn. Also in the Bible, we hear St. Paul talking about the importance of handing on our faith. I have no choice, he tells us. I'm ruined if I don't share it. Why? I don't think it's out of manipulation or the need to control people. It's a more basic truth that when you love someone, you share all that you have with them. And our faith is the greatest gift that we have. Just last week in the newspaper, we saw the headline, "Study asks, why are young Catholics gone? The new study, the report talked about, was done by St. Mary's Press and CARA at Georgetown, and it was released last Monday. And using some comparisons with a study we saw from Pew in 2008, what we have here is a confirmation that 36% of young millennials, that is ages 18 to 24, are dissatisfied with the Catholic Church, and 34% of older millennials, like ages 25 to 33, are as well. That's more than one-third of all our young people. And still another statistic shows that well over one-third of these people consider themselves former Catholics. And here on a college campus, which was always the High Holy Day, that is Ash Wednesday, we would see well over half of all Catholics coming to Mass. That statistic has now dropped to about 41% in not many years. All is not lost, however. 35% say that they're done with religion, but they do claim to believe in something bigger. Enough about the newspaper, now back to the Bible. Faith cannot be real to us if it does not enter our real world, we see in the gospel. And Jesus, going into the house of Peter's mother-in-law, suggests how he encounters us in the whole range of our human experience. We first notice Jesus leaving the synagogue, and he goes into a family home. And stepping into that home is like stepping into all of our homes within a complex web of family systems and friendships and unspoken things and things we don't talk about. And there he is, Jesus, in the home of ordinary people. Traditionally, this time between Epiphany and Ash Wednesday, the church has invited us to consider a mystery or series of mysteries called the hidden life of Jesus. That is those 30 years between his birth and when he started his public ministry. No life begins at 30. And just as who we are today is impressed by those foundational or core experiences of love and family stuff, functional and dysfunctional as it is, the same is true in Jesus' life. And if we're going to get to know Jesus, I think we have to get to know his story, where he came from, those formative years. Christ saves us certainly on the cross, but also by virtue of his incarnation and how our salvation is wrought in the ordinary days, like in February, when Jesus lived at home and practiced his trade. And we elect to participate in the saving love of God by deepening our self-giving love in the hidden areas of our own lives. The hidden life of Jesus. the ordinary life of Jesus. We too are called into that imaginative space where we begin to see the Holy Family doing the hard work of being just that. Family. Growing up. And supporting one another. And dealing with sickness and death. And I think that the temptation for us sometimes is to shy away from the gritty reality of what that would have looked like in Jesus' life. Things like hurt feelings as he played with other kids. Perhaps it's easier and more comfortable for us to imagine a pristine parenting and perfect obedience of the Christ child than to hold in our hearts that messy and more complex reality of a young boy who must have been so different from all the other kids. Or take, for example, this side altar here. Can you see it? It depicts the death of St. Joseph. It's an event not recorded in Scripture, but in these mysteries of the hidden life must have happened. Imagine Jesus burying his father, telling him goodbye. What was that like for him? What's my point? I don't think Jesus was immune to the real life and sleepless nights that Job talks about. And going into the home of Peter, he's walking into the living rooms of our homes, asking us to let him heal that daily and domestic stuff that is our lives. And back to St. Paul. I think one of the keys of sharing our faith is learning how to talk about how faith offers us like an interpretive lens to understand the experiences hidden in our own lives. And it perhaps is our task to model in both word and deed the ways in which our faith in Christ changes the way we see reality and makes difficult events tolerable. The spirituality of Nazareth teaches us that Jesus sanctified the humdrum and boring and rote duties that make up most of our lives by spending most of his time on earth doing the same stuff. Dishes and dusting and working in the wood shop. All of it becomes holy thus. Because taking seriously the stuff of ordinary life means living the way God among us lived. So it's all part of the bigger story. Our sleepless nights. Sick parents. I paid all this Catholic school tuition and they won't go to Mass. But also, the beautiful stuff. Super Bowl parties and Sunday night dinners. Birthday cards and microwave leftovers. Let us imitate what our faith contains so that we may obtain what it promises. I think that's something young people will find attractive.